continue in the Silsa Sharm with the commentary of the Bavavi Mishkan Evna on page Resh Nun Hey. At the bottom with the words of the Silsa Sharm. We're discussing how the main goal of one's existence is in Olam Haba. Now this world is only there as a means to get him into Olam Haba. So Mesil Sharm continues, Alkein Timtza Mamarei Chachamenu Zichron Levracha Rabim Kulam Besignan Echad. Therefore, when we find the words of the rabbis, we see them all speaking with the same style. Midamim Halam Azel Makom Uzman Hachana. They compare this world to the place and time of preparation. V'lam Abalim Kaima Menucha V'achila Samuchin Kvar. And the world to come is the place of rest and to eat which was already prepared. End of words of the Mesil Sharm. So, Matu Alam Azeh Ein Ba Menucha. Why is this world a place where there is no rest? Only in Olam Haba is there rest. Olam Haba Yesh Ba Menucha. The Ashitchi is, so superficially we could say, Adam Avad Kashem Magil Olanuach. Person works hard, he's entitled to rest. Vitaraskar, matana, in a category of a reward, a gift. You work, you deserve to rest. Kamuvan shizu shitchias, but that's clearly just a superficial understanding. Ubeir advarim kachan, this is the deeper meaning. Im kesho adam chai kan b'olam hazeh, if a person lives here in this world, he mash chuso ritzono laguf ulenshama shava. The pull and his desires to the body and the soul could be equal. Or God forbid, the desires of the body could be stronger than that of the soul. With that being the case, so now he's obviously been placed in a war. You have to fight against the bodily desires in order to recognize the spiritual desires. Ulimashech, next page, acharem, to go after the spiritual desires. Ba'ofen kazeh, in such a way, vaded lo yochel liyo shetiyo l'milcha. There's no way a guy could be resting in this world if there's always a constant battle, as we've explained throughout the book. Yimyesh l'milcha, and if you are resting in this world, zeh simen shaguf yishtal elav, that's the biggest sign that the body is controlling you. Therefore, this world is not a place of rest. It cannot be a place of rest. The world to come is a place of rest. This is not just a superficial definition of reward. But rather, if the soul controls the body, there's no war anymore. There's no war, then there's rest. When there's times of war, you can't rest. If a person is going to rest during a war, he can't survive. So therefore, therefore the time for the world to come, the Navi describes as Vigar Ze'evim Kevis, the lion, the fox lives with the sheep. Meaning to say, Hanashom of Aguv Shabatoch Adam Yuchalichus Vishom. The soul and the body are able to live peacefully. That's the secret of the resurrection of the dead. It's returning the body, the soul to the body, in a way where the soul rules the body. That's when the person will get the true reward. So therefore, you see that the rest can only be when the soul totally dominates the body, then there's no milchama anymore. There's no war. And that only can happen in Olam Haba. Therefore, in this world, it's not just a question of a reward for what you're doing. It's the reality of Olam Haba. The reality of Olam Haza is there's no rest. The reality of Olam Haba is that there is rest.
Didn't we say that the tzaddikim can have it here?
Yeah, that's for the tzaddikim.
So that's for the only in Olam Haba.
I understand, but you're bringing the Olam Haba into Olam Haza. That's an exception. The standard Olam Haza, most 99.9% of people are fighting. Yeah. It's the rare tzaddik, okay, the rare tzaddik. But most people aren't that way, and certainly not till the tzaddik becomes the tzaddik. only once he becomes a tzaddik. But then he's already living Olam Haba in this world. It's the same thing. And now it continues with the words of Mesillas Yesharim again. V'humash Amar, this is what it says in Pirkei Avos. Olam Hazeh Doma LeProzdor. This world is like a corridor. K'mush K'safti Lelos, I wrote before. Hayom Lasosam L'Olamach Lasosam. The Navi says, today is for you to do it and not for tomorrow to do it. Hayom Lasosam, today is the time to do it. U'machal L'Kabul Schar, tomorrow is the time to get the reward, as the Gemara in Erevin elaborates. Explains the Bilvavi. Im Hagdara hi chaitzonis, if the definition was only a superficial definition, shekan ovdim v'sham mekablim schar, that here we work and there we get the reward. Misoreres hasha'ela, the question is asked. Madu b'emes rak hayom lasosam lo machal lasosam. So truly, why is it only today to do it and not tomorrow to do it? Adam Shal, he speak of a guy didn't have the chance. Why didn't we give him an extra chance to work? If the only pshat is now you work and later you get the reward, so who says you have to retire? Keep working. That's if you look at it superficially. I believe Vimash is based on what we explained. Hakdora Shalayom Lasos, and the definition of doing it today means Himatsu Shaku Shal Neshama. Here we're in a world where the body rules over the soul. But in the future, the person whose soul is weaker than the body, unfortunately, he just simply can't exist. He'll have no place, he'll have no station to exist in the next world. As the rabbi say in Sanhedrin, Shis alfei shnin havi alma, the world will exist for 6,000 years. And then there's a very difficult clause. V'chad chorv, and there'll be 1,000 years of destruction. So mal chad chorv, what's this 1,000 years of destruction? So the answer is, HaKadosh Baruch Hu mashmid es koach haguf. In that 1,000 years, whatever that means, however that's going to play out, Hashem destroys the power of the body. So by the end of that 1,000 years, the body has no power at all. So now, let's analyze this. After that 1,000 years, bodies have no drive, no nothing. So Misha Mazas Atzmim Koach Haguf Pashut Ne'alam. Person identifies himself merely with the power of the body, he will simply disappear. Kemash Omer Chazal, as our rabbis say, Shereshoyim Lasid Lavo Nasim Eifer Tachas Kapas Ragu Tzadikim. The wicked people in the future will be like dust under the feet of the Tzadikim. You'll have no place in the next world. Mashallah Davaruhu made his analogous to Hoysaridis Adama Beisa Shemedina. So it was an earthquake in a certain place. Kamisha Yeshames, whoever was there in that place where the earthquake was, got swallowed up. They died and got swallowed up. So now, let's say, Yavu ben Adam, let's say a person's going to come and say, you know what? Couldn't the earthquake wait 5 minutes? Kula Mesim Khan, everybody's dying here. Hamakamazel lo kayim yoser. This place isn't going to exist anymore. In other words, you know, if you happen to be in a place where the earthquake is, man, you can't just say, well, can you wait 5 minutes till I can go somewhere else? No, this is where you are. This is where the earthquake is. Tough luck, man. Can't change it. Say, you know, couldn't you? As the earthquake is opening up and he's falling down, says, couldn't you just wait 5 minutes so I could find somewhere else to go? You can't. So next page, the same idea. If a person lives with the grasp that the I is the body, if you live your whole life thinking that you are a body, so the moment that the power of the body during this 1,000 years is, you know, like falls off the map, doesn't exist anymore. Hunelam Yacharito, he disappears with it as well. Kilokeyam Yoser, he's not alive anymore. If you're standing over the earthquake, you're finished. When earth opens up, there ain't no earth where you're at. The place where you're standing doesn't exist anymore. Phew, you're finished. In the next world, during that 1,000 years, the power of the body is zero. If everything you associate yourself with life was predicated on the body, And now there's no body anymore. So what's left for you? Gornished.
The soul.
No. You didn't identify with your soul.
But it's, the soul is still there.
It's not yours. It goes somewhere else. You didn't identify with it. It's gone. Hashem will send it somewhere else. You only have the soul to the degree you identify with it. If you don't identify with your soul at all, so finish. Gamarnu. So Zulu Hagdor Shalom, which is not a definition of a punishment. Rather, a person's grasp of himself is only a body, so in the future he will have no existence because the body will have no existence. He won't feel himself as if he exists. Right? He won't feel his existence anymore. If all you feel is that you are a body, there will be no body feel in the next world. Even if you will get a body, but that body will have no pull. There'll be absolutely no pull. I think it was your alarm. It's okay. Don't worry about it. The camera never beeps. Okay, so that's it. So that's what it's saying. Today to work, tomorrow to get the reward. Because you can't work tomorrow. You can't work tomorrow. There is no work to be done tomorrow. There's no fight with the body anymore. The only work there was is to fight your body. So there's no body anymore. There's nothing to fight. Well, can I fight some more? It's gone. The battle is gone. There's nothing to fight. There's nothing to work. There's nothing to earn anymore. And if you thought you were just a body, there's going to be nothing for your existence anymore. After the three diamonds. You do have Diri Gemara. It's well known the words of the Gemara that says, Ein Gehenim lo lo. There's no Gehenim in the world to come. Rather, what's going to be? El HaKadosh Baruch Hu Motzi Chamim Min Artika. Hashem is an allegory. Hashem will take the sun out of its sheath. Tzadikim Yisrapim Ba. The Tzadikim will be healed by it. Urashayim Nidonim Ba. And the Rishayim will be judged by it. Magdar Sedvar. What's the definition over here? So he says, Yesh No Mashal Yidua. There is a well-known analogy. One time the tzaddikim wanted to see what was there in Gan Eden, what was there in Ganem. They showed him, you know what it is? It's a shtender, a lectern with a chair, and a person's learning by a shtender. And they told him, Zeh Gan Eden, v'zeh gam Gehenem. This is Gan Eden, and this is also Gehenem. So the rabbis asked, Loma, why? How could the same thing be both? The answer is simple. If a person wants, loves to learn, say Gan Eden, that's a Gan Eden. A guy doesn't want to learn. So a guy who stands all day long in a marketplace, a guy who's a businessman all day long, all he knows is making money. So all he's ever interested in is making money. He always ran away from a shir. You know, like in some shuls when they do mincha marv and the rabbi learns for 10 minutes in between, you know, you have half the young people run out to go into the hallway because the worst thing that could be in their lives is to have to listen to 10 minutes of Torah. Right? Now, guess what? You die, and now your eternal existence is sitting next to a Gemara or a shtender. So that's the worst punishment in the world. It's mamish gehenim. Right? If you only relate to the body and not to the neshama, then learning Gemara is of no interest to you at all. So that's going to be your Gehenna. For one, the Gehenna is Gan Eden. So Ma Mashal Kan Umanishal. So what's this teaching us? Kasher Adam Mechuber Lagashim Shalorukhan. So a person is totally connected to physicality and not to spirituality. Vigil Avav gets to the spiritual world above. Gam Yovav One of Kol Tosh Shalorukhan. So give him the best spirituality. Avur is a Gehenna. That's Gehenna. Kilo Mechuber Alam Ruchan. It's because he's not connected to spirituality. And with the physicality that he had, it's gone. They took it away from him. Therefore, he can have no existence. And this is the deeper meaning. This is what we mean when we call about the kaf hakela. The kaf hakela is the slingshot, where you're shot from one end of the world to the other. Meaning to say, he's got nothing to attach himself to. Hagash Mishai Seinenu, the physicality he had no longer exists. Luruchni Shekayamas Ulomachuber, the spiritual that remains, he has no connection to. Azli Didohulikam, so for himself he has no existence. Ein lami malich yos, he doesn't have what to live from. That's why it's hayom la sosum lo lamachal sosum. That's why today you gotta do it and not tomorrow. Machar ein metzir shal la sosum. Tomorrow there is no reality of doing the work. Because a person who identified himself as a body all his life, tomorrow, the I that he had is like something that got lost, got swallowed up in an earthquake. He can't exist. There's no existence. Continues, the Mesil Shasharim gives another example. Mi shetarach b'Erev Shabbos, famous Gemara in Avodah Zarah, he who makes the effort on Erev Shabbos, Yoichel b'Shabbos, will eat on Shabbos. So now he there's a brilliant analysis of this line. We're only 2 days early on this, but it's good to hear it now. So, Misha Tarek B'Erev Shabbos, Yoichel b'Shabbos. What does it mean? Someone who works hard on Erev Shabbos eats on Shabbos. So, Tzarek Lavin, we gotta understand. V'chiyo achilu b'Shabbos, tluyu b'tircha. Does eating on Shabbos depend on how much effort you make? Does it really depend on how much effort you make? Is it possible to eat on Shabbos without making any effort to eat on Shabbos? Sure, just be a guest in somebody's house. Not even go to Sobeys. Go to Sobeys, they already made the effort to go to Sobeys. Just get yourself invited out. That's all. Who says he who makes the effort on the air of Shabbos eats on Shabbos? Just have to have the right connections, man. So that's what he says. Umayya Sodom, or the opposite. Umayya Sodom Shetarach B'Sheish Shemeh Maisa. Next page. What a guy, you know, works the whole week, he didn't make a penny. Bad mazel. Every day went out to business, every day didn't make a penny. So is he going to eat on air? Is he not going to eat on Shabbos? He goes to the marketplace to buy fish. He stole Hashem Sholosh Shoslamotza. He walked around, he couldn't find any fish. He said there was no fish for sale. Yes, no ba'ayah shel tolayim b'dogim. It came out from Lakewood, said there's worms in the fish. You can't eat any fish. You know, this guy can make all the efforts in the world to try to get something for Shabbos. He can still end up with nothing. Hutarach, he made effort. But the effort didn't help. He doesn't have anything to eat. So he looked at it from the other hand, but it goes both ways. So tzarach lios, it's got to be in Cain, lios, because I should have written the following. Misha kona b'Erev Shabbos, Yoichel b'Shabbos. He who buys on Erev Shabbos, actually buys it, eats on Shabbos. Lo misha tarach, not somebody who made the effort. And the example I gave is the reverse. You know, somebody gives it to you. You could ask it either way. I took one way, but he's going the other way. So therefore, we have to have a whole different interpretation of what this means. Tzarach liyusim kain, amnam, kulana yodim, shaschar beruchanius, mishtalem lufi atirchov, lo lufi hasaga. But we have to really understand that the reward is a spiritual reward. A spiritual reward that gets paid according to the effort and not according to what one achieves. So ma'a omik shol sa, what's the depths of this? If the goal is to acquire objects, so then haray shubemis lo mishana kama adam yoga v'tarach. It doesn't make a difference how much effort you make. Ain't shumishmas v'tichoso. There's no real essence to the effort. If the bottom line is what you acquire, then effort really isn't such a great factor. But remember, what's the whole goal? What's the whole goal? Avol imatar lahachlish aguf. But if the goal is to weaken the body, to weaken the grip that the body has over you. And that is what we've been saying all day today. That the work is to have the soul rule over the body. That only happens if you weaken the body. So now, berega she'adam toirech, at the moment the person makes the effort. What's the effort? Not to buy fish for Shabbos, but to weaken the body. Harei she'hichlish l'guf. He has taken one step to weaken that body a little bit. That itself is the acquisition. I've acquired that I have a body that pulls less. So lo yochel yeshu l'chav. You can't say he hasn't acquired anything. Mela yeshu l'malachu b'Shabbos. Therefore, he has what to eat on Shabbos. In other words, Shabbos is only a spiritually delightful day. The only real part of Shabbos is the spiritual part. That is Shabbos. So now, how are you going to be able to partake of the Shabbos? This way you're eating spiritually. How do you eat the spiritual Shabbos? How are you going to enjoy the spiritual reality of Shabbos if you are a gross body? You've got to weaken the body. If you weaken the pull of the body, then you're going to enjoy the spiritual illumination that the Shabbos brings. So, Misha Tarach Berev Shabbos, who makes the effort to indeed weaken the body, and you're making the correct effort where the body gets weaker. So now, a weakened body means a stronger, when the Neshama Yaseira comes, there is an entity of the human being who is welcoming that. He will enjoy that and will spiritually consume that spiritual food that the Shabbos brings. That's what we're talking about. Adam Arishon Chatov Ochlu Metzadas. First man ate from the tree of knowledge. What was the punishment? Nigzer Olav. B'zeyas Apecha Toch Alechem. By the sweat of your brow, you're going to eat your food. What's the connection of the punishment to the sin? What's the depths? The moment the man ate from the tree of knowledge, he caused the body to be more powerful than the soul. That was the result. When you listen to the body becomes stronger. So case now, to weaken the body, alav lavod kasher. He has to work hard. This is the real work. The real work is to now make the body less strong. That's b'zeis apecha toch alechem. Zuba etzam asiba sheshchina nimtzas lomala merashas sheshocholot. This is also the reason why Gemara says the shechina is always above the head of a sick person. Why? Ki berega shaguf nechlash, because at the moment the body is weakened, or an neshama nasa goliyoser, the light of the soul becomes more revealed. This is the way the Maharal explains the idea of Yisurim Shalava. A person has sufferings, and he tries to figure out, why am I suffering? And he checked if it was because he did any averus. He says, no, I didn't do any averus. And he checks for bittul tor. He says, I didn't do any bittul tor. And if he's honest with himself, so what's the suffering? They're called pains of love. How could they be pains of love? The answer is, the Maharal says, that to the degree that you're connected to a body, to that degree you're not connected to your neshama. So if Hashem causes your body to be weakened, and suffering definitely weakens the pull of the body, then therefore, consequently, the neshama is getting stronger. The pull of the neshama is stronger. Because you begin to realize this body isn't worth a dime. Why am I investing all this effort into the body? I should be focusing on the spiritual. That's if a person's awake. Right? If it's a tzaddik, then that's the only reason Hashem is making him suffer. If it's not because of any averus he did, it's not because he stopped learning Torah. So why would Hashem make him suffer? The answer is, so his neshama will be stronger. He'll feel closer to Hashem. So that's the same idea over here. Omer Baal Shem Tov HaKadosh, says the Baal Shem Tov. Adam Yachal Avod, Balamad Es Malachas Kipshuto. A person can do all 39 activities. Yachal Lavod, Balamad Es Malachas Shal Masechah Shabbos. And he can involve himself in learning about the 39 malachas of Shabbos. There's two ways of relating to the 39 malachas. You can actually do them. You can actually do them. You can plow and sow and winnow and that. Or you can learn about them. Right? In both ways, you can purify the body. You can weaken the body. Right? Put in a hard day's work, your body has been worked out, and therefore the body has been pushed down, and the soul has a chance to be recognized. Or you could learn about the 39 malachas. You got to work. The work is meant to weaken the body. That's what it was all about. Person works and comes back, oh, I'm so tired. Oh, so the body is just not strong anymore. So the neshama should start to come into play. but you don't have to necessarily work. If you learn about it, that's plenty work. Plenty work. And that's making the spiritual stronger as well. Right? That's what he's saying. Hu amal v'etzem. That's essentially what amal is, what toil is. Kamo shem chazal. Torah mateshes kachashon. Torah weakens the strength of a human being, the physical strength. The goal of learning Torah is to weaken the body, to strengthen the soul. Okay, so what's the point? Okay, and therefore, im tarach adam v'erev Shabbos, a person makes effort on Erev Shabbos, meaning, harei shehechlish es aguf, he's weakening his body. Vosvada yesh lo ma lecho b'Shabbos, he certainly has what to eat on Shabbos, which is the Yom HaDinishmas, which is the day of the soul. Avmishlo tarach Erev Shabbos, person didn't make the effort on Erev Shabbos. Im kein aguf betokef, the body is as strong as it always is. How's he going to eat the spiritual delights of the Shabbos? So, you know, so even though we cook food on Shabbos, it's symbolic. It's all symbolic. I cook the food on Erev Shabbos. Yes, I get to eat what I really was involved with. That's very symbolic, but it's much deeper than that. The work is weakening the body. And you start on Sunday. So on that, for that, maybe you don't have to buy the fish on Sunday. But from Matzah Shabbos, you're already preparing for the next Shabbos. Why? Because I've got 6 days to work on weakening my body. And the more I weaken the body, meaning the pull of the body, if I weaken the pull of the body, the neshama has to be stronger. And when neshama is stronger, it will delight more in the spiritual benefits that the Shabbos is providing. And if I don't, then it doesn't. It doesn't. You know, unfortunately, you know, it seems to be a little conundrum over here, because, you know, what do people do? The guy could say, what do you mean, Rabbi? I worked the whole Erev Shabbos. See, it's weak in my body. Unfortunately, not every work weakens the body. There was a goal of what work was all about. Right? Now we're not achieving the goal of what work was meant to achieve either. Right? Now, unfortunately, the work is just strengthening your body. You're believing more that the body is everything. So nowadays that's not gonna help. That's not gonna help. But that's certainly what it means. 6 days you'll work and 7 days you'll rest. Now you understand what that means. 6 days you're gonna work on weakening the body. 6 days you work on weakening the body. On the seventh day you don't have to work on weakening the body. You will already be able to enjoy. If you've weakened the body for 6 days, Then you're going to enjoy what the seventh day has to provide. You don't have to weaken the body anymore. What?
How do we compensate? How do we weaken the body these days when work is strengthening the body?
You have to not take your work seriously.
It's all in the mind.
It's all in the mind. Don't take your work seriously. You have to remember Hashem is the one who runs the world. And the work is just a punishment.
When we speak about weakening the body, we don't speak about physically weakening.
Weakening the pull of the body.
We're talking about the desires of the body to be weakened.
So they can be weakened in many ways. Some ways it could be physically. Rabbi Nachman, in all his avoda in his younger life, he weakened the body by mamish starving. And that's not suggested for us to do that. And he himself said nobody else should do it. But for him it worked. If you train yourself to be able to live on next to nothing, as he did, you know, and then again, you know, the critic can always say that's why he died so young. It's interesting, all the major tzaddikim, most of them, died young. Because it could be this is what they did. That's not for us to analyze. But if you eat next to nothing, then your body has very little pull in your life. That's the most biggest pull, but there's other ways to weaken the body, and that's the stuff we've been talking all along. But you don't focus on what the body, you know, eat healthy is a way of weakening the body, but don't idolize eating healthy. You don't idolize it. You know, you spend as little time as necessary engaged in eating. You don't have to starve yourself, but believe me, in 5 minutes you can eat enough food 3 times a day. That you live healthy your whole life. Really, you don't need all these elaborate things. In 5 minutes, you know, you can eat everything you need to eat. You need a bowl of cereal. How long does it take to eat a bowl of cereal? How long does it take already? How long does it take to have a tuna and salad for lunch? How long does it take to eat some chicken and salad and then eat a couple oranges during the day? How much time are you going to spend the whole day? 15 minutes? Okay, that's weakening the body. Instead, it's people who spend an hour and a half to 2 hours a day just focused on their meals. And that's just on the presentation of the food and the preparation of the food. And, you know, you can do it very simple. You want lunch? What's the whole thing? What did I have for lunch yesterday? I opened up a can of tuna fish, put a little mayonnaise in it, took some crackers, took me about 3 minutes to prepare it, took me about 7-8 minutes to eat it, and in 10 minutes I was done. That was lunch. Goodbye. Next. Want a snack in the middle of the day? Took a tangerine, took me 30 seconds to peel it, a minute to eat it, finished. Move on. That's it. So that's how you weaken the body. You say, no, we got to prepare a fancy meal, and you know, it takes me an hour and a half to prepare this salad and this and that. It's the most, you know, I have to marinate it and this and that. I'm spending all my time making the food look so beautiful and presentable. What for? You're getting sucked into the body. You're strengthening the body when you do that, and it's got to look good. It's got to smell good. It's got to this. It's got to be that. It's got to be 100% fresh. This and that. And if it's a little bit not fresh, you can't eat it anymore. As long as there's no mold on it, you could eat it. The tomato's soggy. I don't need soggy tomatoes. Eat a soggy tomato. What the heck? It's not going to kill you. Same nutrients. Doesn't taste that great. Right? All these things. How much time you spend on buying clothes. I got to, you know, you really care so much how you look. You know, you care less how you look. You look presentable. It's good enough. Your face is clean. The clothes is, it's nice. It's okay. Finished. No, I got to spend hours to decide what I'm going to wear. This and that. Those are all things that make the body strong. So you got to, and then obviously learning obviously weakens the body because the body's not interested in learning at all. Learning is only spiritual. So the more you do that, when you go to work, you look at the spiritual end of the work. You look at the spiritual end of the work. You say, okay, I'm at work. How am I mekadesh shem shemayim? That's the only thing you're thinking about. So I have to be honest, I have to be this, I have to that. I'm only doing it for Hashem. And you're thinking about Hashem the whole time you're there. That weakens the body. Of course, yes, at the end of the day, you have to get a paycheck. But I'm getting a paycheck because Hashem said I have to. That's all. Because Nebuch, Hashem said I have to. Nebuch, I have to pay the rent. Nebuch, I have to do that. I don't have to glorify. I don't have to make the house look like a museum that I live in. Just figure, what are you spending time on? Are you spending time making, there's a minimal amount that you have to, because if you don't, you'll die. But I'm only doing that because that's what Hashem told me to do. So, you know, now, so again, you know, it's not all or nothing, it's degrees. You know, a person can weaken the body extensively or weaken the body a little. If you weaken the body a little, you get a little bit of pleasure on Erev Shabbos. You weaken the body a lot, you get more pleasure on Erev Shabbos. That's why a poor person is capable of enjoying Shabbos much more than a rich person. Because the body isn't giving him much anyway. The rich person, it's very hard to enjoy the Shabbos. Because the rich person can tend to fall into the trap of worshipping the body much more than the soul. So that's the avoda. The avoda is to weaken the body. It's not hard. It's not hard to weaken the body. Yeah. The fact you get up at 6 in the morning, 5:30 in the morning, you're already weakening the body. Believe me, the body would like more sleep. So I'm saying, I'm not administering what the body has to say. It's time to get up. This morning I was particularly tired at 5:30. I didn't get a lot of sleep last night. I was particularly tired. And the body is saying, just sit in bed. It's only a couple of people coming anyway. They'll titzich and neitzah without you. Right? That's Yetzer. I said, what are you talking about? Body, go get out of here. I got to get up. That's all. Finished. Every time you get up at 5:30, you're weakening the body. You sleep until 9, you're strengthening the body. Right? So if you weaken the body the whole week long, why do you need to sleep more on Shabbos? Explain to me exactly why you need to sleep more on Shabbos if you've weakened the body all week long. Then you get up on Shabbos at 5:30 also. But instead of having to go to work, you're just going to be learning and davening the whole day. You know, there's no need for more than that. But if the person's been worshiping the body all day, then the body says sleep. Then you worship the body, the whole Shabbos. And you're not eating any spiritual stuff on Shabbos. You hear that? That's the goal. Whoever prepares an Erev Shabbos by weakening his body, he will enjoy the Shabbos or the spiritual delights of the Shabbos. And I'll say the whole avoda of Erev Shabbos, as we've said many times, is that it's the final weakening of the body. is the final weakening of the body, where you're doing all kinds of spiritual things on Erev Shabbos to get yourself ready, that final ability to totally absorb the spiritual light that Shabbos is going to bring to the person. But if you're serving your work, it's not, oh, so I'll work the whole Erev Shabbos to weaken the body. But I said, our work is not weakening our body. The kind of work we do does not weaken the body. Right? So then, it's, you know, you're not going to enjoy the Shabbos at all. It's as simple as that. Yeah?
In the days of the temple, when they used to bring the sacrifices that were into the temple, the choicest parts were given to the Kohanim, and also there was always loaves of bread where they were smelling beautiful, and everything was geared towards eating and a satisfying aroma to Hashem. That's another part of...
First of all, not so much. Because first of all the bread was matzah. There was no chametz in the Beis HaMikdash. Matzah is not what I would call a delightful meal.
What says loaves of bread?
That's not what it means. You don't look at the English translation. It says you can't have any chametz by korbanos. Finished. You had matzah the whole time. Can you imagine a kohen eating matzah all the time, all year long? If anything, the sanctuary was the less amount of food. And you could not spice the food, the meat. Just salt. Finished. You couldn't have your Billy B sauce, whatever, you know, a plum sauce in place. You can't have honey. It was just a basic korban. That's all it was, a basic. And what did you do? You destroyed the animal. You're saying, and what was the whole message of korbanos? A body without a soul is worthless, says the Sefer HaChinuch. That's the whole message. A body without a soul, the animal had a living soul, an animalistic soul, but once you kill the animal, it has no value, just burn it, get it out of here. Right? And that food, that korban, was elevated to the state of being like mun. It was spiritual food. It wasn't, you know, a tasty barbecue that everybody thinks, like an amazing barbecue, and you think they chazered up the food. Yeah, a little bit, that was it. But it was all part of, you watch the animal, look, the animal just finished, it got consumed by God. It entered God's reality. Oh, this is some really holy food. This is after a whole avoda, till you bring it to this state. It was not anything, it was a restaurant with checkered tablecloths, with music in the background, and Mamash are giving you, you know, what was it? It was meat and matzah, finished. It's like a Korban Pesach. It's like Pesach. It's the whole idea of Pesach. Look at Pesach. I want to know, where's the gourmet menus in the Torah about Pesach? All I see on Pesach is eating matzah, having two pieces of meat, and some moror, and some charoses. And that's the meal. That's Pesach. And how much matzah, and how much moror, and this and that. A normal Pesach meal, believe me, by the main course, if you're eating it, you're pushing yourself. You're doing it only because Hashem said you have to. So who prepares these? Where's this whole idea of elaborate dinners on Pesach night come from? It doesn't come from my Torah. Not in my Torah, not in my Haggadah. It's not there. The whole point of Pesach is to teach you how to go on a diet. You're supposed to lose weight on Pesach, not gain weight on Pesach. The whole institution. You can't have chametz. You can't have tasty. The whole idea is to not have pleasurable food. So what do we do in the modern world? We kind of, even on Pesach, we can make it fancy. Still haven't succeeded 100%, but we're dying for it anyway. So we fool ourselves and think that those $12 little pieces of pastry taste good, and you know they don't taste good. No Pesach cakes taste good. But you're fighting it because you don't want to give up all the gosh. That's why you don't enjoy Pesach. Hashem gives you Yontav Pesach to weaken the body. The whole Yontav is to weaken the body, and you're trying to strengthen the body. And the ladies are killing themselves to cook and cook and cook. Hashem says, I never asked you to do that. Make one thing of chicken. Make one a little piece of beef, and that's it. Finish. Everyone has a little size and good night. That's what the mitzvah is. You know, where do you find it? Gourmet meals in the Beis HaMikdash? It's the basics, the basics, the basic four elements of inanimate plant, animal, and human being. And the basics, the simplest. That's all it was. It was not a fancy barbecue. It was not, you know, the greatest tasting food in the world. It was definitely not. You know, that's all. That was the Kohen's diet. If anything, you felt, and it was not a pleasant place. Was there one chair in the Beis HaMikdash to sit on? You come and you're standing the whole day. Standing in line, waiting and waiting with Bessie next to you, till it's your turn. And then I don't know where they ate it. Apush, I don't know where they ate it.
People ate it outside.
But I'm just saying it was no place to relax, the basement. No couches, no chaise lounges. It was a place of avoda. Place of work. It's not a place of enjoyable pleasure. So the pleasure was in the ruchnius. That was the pleasure in the ruchnius. And after you did tshuva, now you eat a morsel of meat from God's mizbeach. Whoa. Now, that had kedusha, that meat had kedusha in it. It wasn't a physical piece of meat anymore. It's a spiritual piece of meat. It's a whole different reality. And that's how tzaddikim eat their Shabbos meals. We don't. But tzaddikim eat it that way. Okay, we'll continue this idea. He goes into more depth tomorrow. Same idea with this Erev Shabbos tomorrow. Who, tzaddik? I'm sure not the kind of meal we do.
I bet you it's not as normal Tuesday dinner either.
It's not Tuesdays, but it's not what we're serving.